We're talking about school choice here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Vice President Mike Pence spoke in the rotunda of the state capitol Tuesday, celebrating Wisconsin's voucher school program. It started in Milwaukee 30 years ago, and it's grown in scope here and straight across the nation.
Wisconsin has an extraordinary record of success with school choice, and every family in Wisconsin should be proud.
So what's your take on Wisconsin's voucher program? What do you want to know? We're at 800-642-1234. Jim Bender is president of School Choice Wisconsin. It's an advocacy organization based in Brookfield. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So Wisconsin created the statewide school choice program in 2013, a statewide program allowing families to use, private dollars toward private and religious schools. How is this program working so far?
Fabulously. It's an extension, obviously, of the program that was started in Milwaukee. So there are really three programs in Wisconsin, geographically based, and a special needs scholarship program. Milwaukee and Racine have their own programs, and the rest of the state is the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program. It's the smallest of the three as far as enrollment, but the largest of the three as for the number of participating schools. So you've got schools now really scattered all over the state that are in the program that have quite a bit of physical capacity, and almost all of those schools are growing. So you're going to see there's about 9,700 students in about 260 schools in the Wisconsin program. There's another more than 30,000 in Milwaukee and Racine. So we got 9,700 students in about 260 schools. We know from our work, because we've been in all 260 schools as an organization, We know there's a lot more coming online, and we know the existing schools are feeling a great deal of demand from parents. So that number is going to go up rather significantly in the next 5 years.
So you see growing capacity in the next years. You also see growing demand?
Oh, there's constant demand. I mean, that's the only way you get growth. I mean, again, for a school to participate, it's a voluntary endeavor. A private school has to enroll with DPI, has to submit to three audits a year, an online application system. Their staff has to get trained. There's all sorts of rules and regulations to go with it. So it's a big leap for a school to get in. A school's not going to do that if they don't think that there's not going to be a demand from parents. And once they do get into the program, oftentimes what happens is then they get an even greater demand. And so even their expectations that they're putting out there, in many cases, we've seen that happen. And so the program is capped kind of in an odd way now by individual public school district. And so that goes up 1% a year. It's 4% of a public school district right now is eligible for a voucher. We've hit that cap in a number of districts. And so next year it'll go to 5%, 6%. And instead of going to 11% from 10%, then the cap is removed. So that's under current law. That's the way the statutes are written. So as that progresses, we think that those numbers will certainly continue to rise.
Vice President Mike Pence, strong advocate for school choice programs in Indiana, where he was governor. What did he have to say about Wisconsin's program at his visit at the Capitol yesterday?
Well, he recognized the successes that we're having. So, he talked about Cristo Rey in Milwaukee, which is a school that's now in its fifth year. It's a high school. They started as just a freshman class and added a grade per year. And their first graduating class had 85 students in it, and I'm pulling this off memory, but I think they had 86 when they started. So 85 of the 86 that started came through, graduated high school, and all of them got into college. And all 85 students are the first member of their family to ever go to college.
First generation.
First generation. So the valedictorian was there yesterday. And she joined 21 of her classmates from Cristo Rey as freshmen at Marquette. So it's not just getting into school, but, almost a third of those students qualified to get into Marquette. So, that's really an unbelievable accomplishment for a school that's now, not surprisingly, busting at the seams. They are going to build a new building because they have so much demand from parents to get their children into a school like that. So that's one of the many examples that he talked about in the Capitol yesterday.
Talking with Jim Bender, the president of School Choice Wisconsin, Vice President Mike Pence spoke about Wisconsin's leadership in the area of school voucher programs. He was at the state capitol yesterday. Jim, a bill proposed by Representative Jonathan Brostoff, a Democrat from Milwaukee, would basically dismantle the state's voucher program. It's called the Public Education Reinvestment Act. You oppose this bill, but what changes would you like lawmakers to work on in public education?
Oh, boy. I think the place you have to start, so – and I'll comment about Brostoff here in a minute, but they just had a Blue Ribbon Commission. And, well, personally, I'm not all that big a fan of Blue Ribbon Commissions because they make a lot of reports and not much happens out of it. But nonetheless, they did have a Blue Ribbon Commission on public education funding. And in Wisconsin, there's a lot of different dynamics. Public School District A can get $2,000 less per child than Public School District B. And then you have a voucher that has, you know, $8,000 per child and a public school student that gets $12,500 per child. So you've got inequities kind of all over the place, depending on your sector and your system and charter and other things. So we're not funding equally per student, right? There's all sorts of different things, and that's not sector specific. It can go all over. The other thing that's really changed in the last 30 years, you've got 43,500 students in the voucher program. You've got 15,000 independent charters. You've got more than 60,000 in public school open enrollment. And if you count district charters, you've got 42,000 students in district charters. When you total that all up, you've got nearly 18.5, it's nearly 20% of all the publicly funded children in Wisconsin are now attending a school that's not their traditional resident public school district.
In their neighborhood.
Their neighborhood school, what their residentially assigned neighborhood would be. And what that means for a funding formula, on the public school side, you've got all these different things, three-year rolling averages and things that are meant to smooth out enrollment and funding and all those things, you don't get dips. And they were really designed around a system where when you met your mandatory requirement, you either went to the local private school and paid for it, or you went to your local public school and that was it. It's very different now. Children are moving all over the place, but our financial system is not meant to follow the child. The money needs to follow the child. So for me, the two big things that I testified to is get equal funding per child, and you need to figure out a way to make that money much more mobile, because that's what our population is now. They're moving all over.
Last October, the Department of Public Instruction said it spent nearly $350 million on vouchers. Opponents of vouchers are arguing that voucher programs are siphoning off resources from already underfunded public schools. So does the state have a duty to ensure that public schools are properly funded and continue a voucher program? Can you do both? Well,
absolutely. And that's a really loaded question, because when, you know, you get the underfunded, you get all the different kind of buzzwords that go into that question. Parents that put their child into the voucher program are not second class citizens. They're taxpayers just like everybody else. We live in a state where it's mandatory. Either you're homeschooling or you have to send your children to school. Okay? You have many options to meet that mandatory requirement. Virtual schools, private schools, paid for or not, doesn't matter. You have to do that. All we're talking about doing is being able to take the dollars that you're paying in via your taxes, that all of the families in the voucher program are taxpayers, right? They all are. You get to redirect your dollars to the school of your choice. The public school system is one delivery method of public education. There are many other ways to do it. The idea that it is always going to be a one-size-fits-all system, one, isn't reality, right? That is clearly not the demand of the people. And we've seen in polling, Republican, Democrat, they support school choice. The younger generations certainly support school choice. So the advent that we are going to keep a one-size-fits-all system, whether you like it or not, isn't reality. That's not what we're talking about. And I think back to your previous question, if you got to a more equitable system on funding per student, there are some issues that the public school folks certainly can make around funding and education disparities amongst themselves, much less an overall funding mechanism. But I think if you got to more mobile funding and more equitable funding, some of those issues would be taken off the table.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Jim Bender is president of School Choice Wisconsin. Coming up, Goodwill of Southeast Wisconsin turned 100. We discuss the company's work and its impact on local communities. This is The Morning Show. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.